Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview. And we're back. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help you focus on the news of the week through the lens of original thought. It's good to have everybody back here. Coming to you from the bowels of the McBurney compound here in the boiler room for another edition of the Weekly Worldview. Here we stand as we look upon the panoply of news and events. You got the North Koreans, the Venezuelans, the Chinese, the Russians. So much tension in the world right now. Why is that? All this tension. Well, we'll get to some of that. One of the main reasons there's so much tension is that the North Koreans have tested another intercontinental ballistic missile. They did that this past Friday. The missile appeared to be capable of reaching the West Coast, according to the New York Times. That's the West Coast of the United States. The New York Times has to put that in there, of the United States, as if that needs to be pointed out as to why we're worried. The Times tells us that this is a milestone that American presidents have long declared could not be tolerated and would not be tolerated. And so we all wait with bated breath to see what will happen over the next few days and weeks. But in my opinion, 60 years of abdicating responsibility for the difficult and dirty work of destroying a despot will now have to be paid for with the blood of children whose grandparents were not even alive at the time of the original abdication back in the mid-1950s. And I understand that it was a time after a long and difficult war, and it just seemed like the easy way out at the time, I'm sure, for the politicians on both sides. Who wanted another long, drawn-out war, this time with the communists? And so here we sit, though. The debt has come due, it would seem. I mean, we shall see. Presidents have said it will not be tolerated. We'll see if it'll be tolerated. That does not end well for anyone, unfortunately. And we will keep you updated, although we may not have to. It'd probably be headline news everywhere in the world whenever that crisis comes to a head, as it is doing. But let's move from that through the war file. We go to China, where the Times again is reporting that software to help users skirt China's system of internet filters has suddenly vanished from the App Store there in mainland China. Yeah, the most popular foreign virtual private networks, which give Chinese users unfiltered access to the internet in China, were suddenly no longer accessible on the App Store in China this past week. Apple has declined to comment, well, because they don't have to. They're beholden more to China than they are to the United States, and therefore they don't really have to comment. They just do what their masters insist they must do to keep generating vast revenues. That's the order of the day, it appears. Vast revenues. And that seems to be the important thing at this time. And of course, when that becomes the most important thing, often that's when other problems tend to complicate that mindset. And I think that's probably where we are. Now, over the past few weeks, I have mercifully extended my limitation for the benefit specifically of my extremely attractive audio engineer, of the homos and the freaks and the trannies rearing their ugly heads. But they've reared their ugly heads this week in a big way. But we'll try to move through it quickly so that my extremely attractive audio engineer doesn't lose, well, her lunch. You talk too much about this kind of stuff, right? We have Donald Trump, the president of the United States, declared this past week that trannies would now not be allowed in the military. And he's been attacked by a tranny Navy SEAL, as if there were a such thing as that. This happens to be a retired Navy SEAL who went tranny after he retired and spun down into mental illness. This tranny former Navy SEAL spoken out against Trump's ban on trannies in the military. And Chris Beck, the retired SEAL member, who has fought in Iraq and Afghanistan as a man, by the way. When Chris fought in Afghanistan and Iraq, he fought as a man, now lives in retirement comfortably as a mentally deranged transgendered freak of nature. Said, quote, "Let's meet face to face and you tell me I'm not worthy, Mr. President." He said that in an interview. Chris insists that being transgender doesn't affect anyone else. It's, I defended for Republicans. I defended for Democrats. I defended America for everyone. And challenges, basically just throws down the gauntlet to Donald Trump to see if he wants to meet him outside or something. This tranny SEAL has become a voice for transgendered service members, according to the New York Daily News, as a means of expressing his mental illness without further mutilating himself. No, wait, I added that. That was my editorial. The New York Daily News did not even acknowledge that Chris is mentally ill. In fact, they entertain him in his mental illness by referring to him in the female sex as a female throughout the article, which is disturbing and sometimes confusing. Let's see. The Daily News points out that the end of the previous ban on transgendered service members was announced by Defense Secretary Ash Carter under Barry Ho last year. The previous ban. Was there a previous ban? I thought it just went without saying that trannies would not be allowed to serve in the military. I was in the military. I don't remember there ever being talk about a ban or anything like that. It just pretty much went without saying, but it doesn't go without saying anymore because, well, nobody will stop talking about them, which I think is part of the problem. Making transgenderism part of the daily conversation of American life, in my mind, is corrosive to a productive and free society and a spiritually and mentally healthy society. It's just corrosive that we have to be forced to talk about this and hear about this all the time when it's one of the most freakish things in all of nature and in all of news and in all of civilization and society. There's a few deranged freaks out there, and the media seems to obsess over them on a daily basis. And so we're forced to cover this kind of thing. And, well, it's frankly embarrassing to have to cover it. The Daily News points out that there was a Rand Corporation survey. Rand Corporation, that's a big data. Rand Corporation says there are between 1,300 and 6,600 trannies currently serving in all branches of the military. 1,300 to 6,600. I would think that a margin of error of greater than 500% means that this data should not be taken seriously. That's just my opinion. I don't know that we need to take this all very seriously. But the pile of researchers over at RAND has pointed to other countries, such as the United Kingdom and Israel, that allow all soldiers to serve. And in no case did Rand find evidence of an effect, any effect on operational effectiveness, readiness, or unit cohesion. And so I ask, well, is that really the point? Is effectiveness, readiness, and unit cohesion, is that really the main point? I suppose if you're running a military organization, that is a significant point of order to take under consideration. But what about being truthful and caring about the person who is sick enough to think that they're transgendered. What about that? I mean, all this talk of tolerance of transgenderism, it's like giving an alcoholic an EBT card that's good at the liquor store down the street. It's giving somebody who's trying to quit smoking a carton of Camels, for crying out loud. The left is obviously deranged. And that's what that's all about. And we'll just leave that aside, and we'll move on through the deeper into the war file. And we'll get on to Tony Perkins here. Tony Perkins, you may remember, is the president of the Fundraising Research Council. Wait a second. Family Research Council. The Fundraising Research Council has been famous as warriors in the culture wars over the past 30 years or so. He was interviewed on Trump's reversal of, listen to how Breitbart puts this. They say that it was Trump's reversal of an Obama-era policy banning trannies from military service. So they always like to get that in there that, hey, Barry, he banned the trannies too. Well, that's just because trannies were banned by default when Barry stumbled into office. It's not that Barry wrote up a ban on the trannies. It's that everyone pretty much understood that we couldn't, shouldn't, and won't have trannies and other mentally ill people in the military. But anyways, let's get on. Tony Perkins, president of the Fundraising Research Council, was asked about the issue of equality in regards to Trump's tranny ban. Perkins had this to say. Perkins, by the way, supposedly a culture warrior and a man with his finger on the pulse of morality here in America. And he addressed the issue thusly. He said, the military has never been about equality. The military is about fighting and winning wars. He then went on to cite several medical issues that can prevent an individual from serving in the armed forces. Yeah, you got flat feet, you got scabies, right? Anyway, he goes on all that. Never once did Tony Perkins, moral crusader in the culture wars, never once did he even think to address the morality or the mental and spiritual health of the so-called transgendered community. And I believe this is an example of why Tony Perkins is James Dobson's sidekick poster boy for the losers of the culture wars. Yeah, I mean, not that they were going to be won. Let me get that out there right away. It's not like we were going to win the culture wars. There's a reason we lost. The ebb and flow of human history tell us that rampant immorality and even murder are generally defeated within a civilization only when the people are destroyed by another people, stronger and more vicious than they are. But Tony and James Dobson, if you're listening, I mean, one must at least make the effort to acquit oneself honorably, even in defeat. But Perkins and Dobson never did such a thing. They and the rest of the pro-family industry have not not acquitted themselves honorably for standing up for what's right and true and normal and moral and reasonable, and not standing against what is obviously criminal and dangerous and corrosive and corrupting of the children. They've stood against none of that. In fact, they've aided and abetted the enemy by insisting we focus on secular means of defeating what is a spiritual attack. It's a spiritual war. And when the pro-family industry decided to leave God out of the argument, God being the only arbiter of any kind of sensibility that could defeat the maniacs who want our children and want to corrupt our kids, when they left him out of the argument, well, that was the day that their fate was sealed and the defeat was insured.
Housemates rub the floors, they get the spaces in between. I wanna live a life like that. I wanna be just like a king. Take my picture by the pool, 'cause I'm the next big thing in Beverly Hills.
And I am your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us as we continue down the path of elucidating the decline and fall of Western civilization before our very eyes. As disturbing as all that is. We go now into the personhood file. Personhood. Yes, yes, yes. Another movement. Another movement doomed to failure by the immorality of society corrupting the leadership. Greed, lust, gluttony, all of that. Another movement doomed to failure in the ebb and flow of human history that is lapping on the shores of a once proud nation, a once godly nation, and pulling us out with the undertow, in my humble opinion. Case in point, the lack of astonishment or even significant news coverage of the latest videos released by the Center for Medical Progress. A video from some sort of abortion conference, like a trade show. They have a trade show where they get together and they talk about how to murder innocent people and how to do it within the bounds of the law. And the new video from CMP includes comments from an abortion industry player. That's what WorldNet Daily calls this person, an abortion industry player caught on undercover video. Where the abortion industry insider talks about how to comply with the partial birth abortion ban that the aforementioned Tony Perkins and James Dobson dedicated a good portion of their career to raising funds around the so-called partial birth abortion ban. The abortion insider at the child-killing trade show, Susie, is caught on tape saying, quote, "Some people train just to document that, like, you know, to, like, comply with the partial birth abortion ban. You basically just have to say, I intend to utilize dismemberment techniques for this procedure. So every time you do, like, a procedure, that's how you document it. So, like, there's a checkbox. So you write, I intend to utilize dismemberment techniques for this procedure, and then it's legal, you see. Because that's the way we wrote the partial birth abortion ban. So that you could still kill the kids, but there's, like, a way to, like, do it, you know? You have to check the box." So the efforts of Tony Perkins and who was the other moron that I mentioned? James Dobson and the rest of the pro-family, pro-life industry, all their efforts resulted in a checkbox after which the doctor could pretty much butcher the child any way they want as long as the paperwork was filled out properly. The abortion industry allows abortionists to certify compliance with the partial birth abortion ban which prohibits abortions in which a fetus is extracted alive up to certain anatomical landmarks, but not other landmarks. There's other ways. But they can still legally kill the unborn baby with an injection of digoxin or simply document their intent to, like, you know, use dismemberment techniques for this procedure. I have a quote here from Marjorie Dannenfelser, who I will nominate to join Tony Perkins and James Dobson on the poster memorializing the loss of the culture wars without honor. There's a difference between losing with honor and being complicit with the enemy. Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the pro-life industry Susan B. Anthony mailing list, as we call it here. She says, quote, after seeing this, many Americans may find themselves asking why and how Planned Parenthood is still permitted to do business, let alone receive more than $500 million a year. Our forced complicity in this atrocity must end, says Marjorie Dannenfelser, who refused to support legislation that would reinstate the legal personhood of the unborn people who are being murdered by the people at this abortion trade show. Is that it, Marjorie? Is it just our forced complicity that you have a problem with? The $500 million a year? Is that really the issue? Not that that's not an issue. And I appreciate you calling it an atrocity. That's something. But is it really now the goal of the pro-life industry to simply defund Planned Parenthood? Is that it? Well, you see, that's the most effective fundraising tactic right now. And so, you know, like the partial birth abortion ban was back in the 90s. I mean, you know, like that. Marjorie Dannenfelser. On a crusade to defund Planned Parenthood. Having lost sight of the real issue is to stop the legal murder of innocent people publicly. Right in our neighborhoods. That's what the goal was, I thought. But the culture wars having been lost, the industry giants who sprung up around the culture wars, well, they still need something to do. So they raise money around the idea of defunding Planned Parenthood. And while they call it an atrocity, Marjorie called it an atrocity. She hardly behaves like it's an atrocity. She's certainly not willing to risk the financial stability of the Susan B. Anthony mailing list in order to support what is right, even though what is right may not be popular and it may not generate a lot of checks in the mail when you send out your fundraising letters, Marjorie. But Marjorie, at least you are in the company of significant numbers of other industry leaders who have failed and who have been defeated and dishonored. Well, you've dishonored the children who you claim to care about. Now, speaking of that. Speaking of dishonor, let's go to the justice file, which is rife with dishonor every day of the week. This in particular caught my attention because it is particularly astonishing to note this story out of Knoxville, Tennessee, as reported by NBC News Channel 15. A man named Trendle Ray Brady has been convicted of two counts of rape of a child. He was convicted last Thursday, and prosecutors obtained the maximum penalty against him. Now, the assaults on the child, who was 7 years old, began in 2003 when this person started dating a family member and occasionally babysat for the victim, and her siblings. Trendle Ray Brady began molesting and sexually assaulting the child over a three-year period, resulting in the victim's pregnancy when she was 10 years old. And so state officials participated in the killing of that child, and the fetal evidence, as it's called in the article, fetal evidence, matched Trendle Brady. And for some reason, he continued to live after that, which I cannot comprehend how he continued to live and breathe on this earth. But he did, because a few months later, when the victim was 11 years old, she became pregnant again. And that DNA evidence matched Trendle Ray Brady as the father. I'm making the assumption that both of the children were murdered and only DNA evidence was recovered. Now, I mentioned that the prosecutors pursued and obtained the maximum penalty against the perpetrator in this case. Rape of a child in Tennessee carries a punishment of between 25 and 40 years in prison. And prosecutors asked for and received two concurrent terms of 40 years for a total of 80 years in prison for Trendle Ray Brady, who was duly prosecuted and convicted of raping a child, for which he should have been publicly and painfully put to death. But instead he'll be under the care of the state of Tennessee for the rest of his natural life. And he will be allowed to hope and dream and experience pleasure on this earth in defiance and in outright rebellion against everything that is good and right. And rebellion not only by him for living, but by the prosecutors, the judges, the legislators, the governors, who have all decided somewhere along the line that the rape of children could be and will be tolerated. Well, Doug, you say, well, they sent him to prison, so that's not tolerance. He will be able to imagine. He will be able to fantasize. He will be able to, as I said, experience pleasure here in the same world that we all live in. And the opportunity for him to serve as an example to others who might contemplate hurting children has been lost. Because nobody is going to remember Trendle Ray Brady and what he did 20 and 30 and 40 and 80 years from now. Nobody's going to remember. And so an opportunity, again, has been squandered to teach people right from wrong. And so most people simply don't know right from wrong any longer. And so we end up devolving to the point where a Hollywood actor like James Woods is one of the few people to be willing to say something reasonable about the moral collapse of our society. It's not Tony Perkins. It's not Jim Dobson. None of our pastors, none of the big megachurch pastors, none of the pastors on TV, none of them have much to say. But here we go to James Woods, an actor who I know I've seen him in some movies. And if I remember correctly, he was always the pockmarked-faced bad guy, if I remember correctly. And participated in some of the most degenerated and immoral and destructive and corrosive pieces of entertainment in the history of the country, if I remember correctly. It's been a long time since I saw a movie, but it seems like I saw some fairly disturbing ones in which Mr. Woods was an actor. But Breitbart is reporting that he's made some comments on a stage photo that has appeared online. It's gone viral. It's the latest display of the abuse of the mentally ill and unstable, and which, by the way, is the acknowledgement of transgenderism and all other sorts of sexual deviancy as normal. That's the abuse. When we as a society entertain and encourage people in their mental destruction and their spiritual destruction, that's abuse. And it's happening on a wholesale scale across the country. This photo that went viral shows a female artist and activist dressed as a man with an apparent stain of menstrual blood visible on her person, holding a sign that suggests that men can have periods. So James Woods, who's no moral pillar, he sees this, and he reacts normally. And he says that while he urges support for youths who are in turmoil over their sexual development, he says that the cultural damage caused by the baby boom generation is noteworthy, and then he slams parents who don't stop their sexually confused children from using drugs and surgeries to mutilate their bodies. That's James Woods says that. He's willing to at least stand up and say this is insanity. And then the article goes on to talk about the use of gender. And I want to get to that because that's been annoying me for quite some time, and I think there's a number of things that need to be said. I am Doug McBurney, and this is the Weekly Worldview. And I want to talk a little bit about this whole idea of gender, because many, many years ago, I used to listen to the radio, 20 years ago probably. G. Gordon Liddy used to always make a point about this, that gender is a grammatical construct, not to be confused with sex. And at the time, I thought this is just a crotchety old man who's obsessed with grammar. Little did I realize that G. Gordon Liddy was deconstructing an elaborate and diabolical plan to undermine the idea of sex. And when I say sex, I mean just the binary definition of a man and a woman. That's what I mean by sex. And I'll continue from this article from Breitbart because they make this point that gender is a grammatical feature in French and other Romance languages which refer to items like houses or bread or bicycles using male or female grammar and pronouns. It's quite common in Spanish, I've learned, as my daughter is studying Spanish. And they have feminine and masculine pronouns that apply to things. The Breitbart article points out that English does not have this linguistic feature because in English, we just use the word it for things. We don't use gender variant pronouns for things. We just call them it. But transgender activists, according to the Breitbart article, are trying to end the use of the term sex when referring to male and female people in order to destroy the idea of the two sexes. And just as G. Gordon Liddy warned us years ago, now there is this amorphous idea of gender which can encompass, well, as we've learned, all kinds of different things and all kinds of different interpretations. When what we've been talking about all the time was actually sex, which is male and female, from the beginning of the creation, God made us so. And only recently has it become so blurred as to lead to, well, just a relatively, well, at the least, it's just an uncomfortable and confusing situation. And at the worst, which is what it is, it's the worst, it's a diabolical and evil plot to confuse children about the binary nature of sex as God created it, male and female, from the beginning of the creation. And if you want to argue that point, you are mentally deranged. That's all. And I will not entertain you in a discussion about gender. But the U.S. Navy apparently will. We move on now to the New York Daily News from the Decline and Fall file, which gets thicker every week. The USS Gerald R. Ford has set sail. It is the newest aircraft carrier in the American Navy, and it set sail with gender-neutral bathrooms. They have banned and abolished the urinal from the naval ship. Yes, no more urinals. The USS Gerald R. Ford stumbles forward with what are called universal bathrooms because the Navy says switching the room assignments for each berth between the genders will be much easier. Between the genders, they say, yes. How can they say between the genders? That implies there's only two. Oh, just a slip up. Because, traditional grammar is hard to escape. So when you're actually writing about things, you tend to stumble into reality without even realizing it. They say between the genders when they should say amongst the genders, I do believe would be the proper modern day interpretation as written in the Navy guide for. I'll just leave that aside. Let's just stop with that. Let's see. The Daily News says that gender-neutral bathrooms, i.e. no urinals, are the wave of the future. Urinal-free ships, yeah, they're the wave of the future. And that very well may be true. My only question is, how long will that future be? How long will the future of the United States Navy be now that we've gone to gender-fluctuating bathrooms there aboard Navy ships, where, by the way, girls should not be allowed to serve at all? And I don't say that to be sexist. I only say that because girls shouldn't be allowed to serve aboard Navy ships. That's all. And if you don't understand that, and you want to argue with me about that, you are mentally deranged. And I will not entertain you with any serious discussion of it. It's been common sense for, 5,000 years. Handed down to us starting with, Moses? How about that? All right. Directly from the mouth of the living God. That men and women are different. And there are certain situations in which men and women who are not married should not be forced to participate in order to earn a living. Unless there's some sort of crisis. Which now we're on the verge of the crisis. So there, we'll get that. So we'll get to that crisis where we'll have to put men and women on a ship because so many other people have been killed in the massive war that is seems to be coming upon us. All right, now, let's go from the figurative decline and fall file to now the literal decline and fall file. I say literal because the sperm levels among Western men, according to, a new study, sperm counts have fallen to a record low. Apparently, the sperm count among Western men has fallen by more than 50% in the last 40 years. And it's showing no signs of slowing down or speeding up or anything like that. It's not getting any better. Now, this new study did not examine the causes of why it is the sperm count, particularly in the West. We're talking Western Europe and the United States, by the way, when I say the West. I know many of you matriculated in the government schools, and when I say the West, you might be thinking of Los Angeles. But we're talking about west of Jerusalem, just to give you some historical context. The study didn't examine its causes, but scientists believe that it must be chemicals that are used in everyday products, industry, and farming that may be behind the crisis in Western male sperm count. I have a quote from someone. A researcher from the Hebrew University, Hadassah Brown School of Public Health and Community Medicine, and the Icon School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. Boy, that's a long title for a school. The Hebrew University, Hadassah Brown School of Public Health and Community Medicine, and the Icon School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. I think I'm just going to shorten that to Mount Sinai, which, by the way, is where we got our first instructions on what was right and wrong about male and female, at least some of the early instructions. Not the first ones. I mean, the first ones came just by the way God made us, male and female, at the beginning of the creation. That was a big clue as to how we were supposed to behave. This researcher from Mount Sinai says the fact that the decline is seen in Western countries strongly suggests that chemicals are playing a role in this trend. The study, by the way, found no significant decline in sperm count in South America, Asia, and Africa. So that's interesting. So he asked his extremely attractive audio engineer, what do you think is behind which chemical, since they're worried about chemicals here, let's think about the last 40 years of history in Western civilization. What chemical do you think is responsible for the reduction in sperm count in men? Which chemical? Mm-hmm. It has three letters. I'm giving her a hint, but she doesn't generally think about things like, you're probably thinking like cleaning solution and Lysol, right? That, think about chemicals. Plastics, right? Genetically modified organisms, all that stuff. I will posit my theory on the chemical that is probably behind the decline of sperm count in Western men. And it is a chemical. And it's THC. Tetrahydrocannabinol. It's pot. It's marijuana, you geniuses. The country's been smoking pot for 40 years. I mean, what 40 years ago is what? 1977. So how many high school, half the military was smoking pot in 1977. And anyway, the whole pot culture has become more and more significant, and the pot's become stronger and stronger. And so I will posit my theory based on no research other than just being alive and paying attention to stuff. That's my research modality. Just breathing and opening your eyes in the morning. The chemical that we can ascribe this to is THC. How about that? We'll see if further research from real researchers who actually do the research bear out my theory that, yes, indeed, it is chemicals, but it doesn't have anything to do with what you wash your clothes with or what's in your chicken salad. All right, now let's move on. We need some lighthearted news because the decline and fall of Western civilization can grate upon you, I must say. So let's go to the world of hip-hop and the San Francisco Chronicle. Hip-hop artist Zion I and his film crew were robbed at gunpoint while shooting a hip-hop video in West Oakland last week. That was where you were supposed to break in with a Zion I rap for the bumper of the show. My extremely attractive audio engineer is a bit off her game. She was supposed to plug in the Zion I right there. But we'll move on. Try to be gracious. Apparently, Zion I was filming his video when men appeared and put a gun to the cameraman's head and took off with his camera, along with all of the footage that was captured that day. And that's the real cultural tragedy, is that we've lost a portion of a Zion I rap video Or is it a hip-hop video? Am I dating myself by saying rap? Well, the musician and his record company and the people who had to buy the camera have set up a GoFundMe page to help cover the camera's insurance deductible and to fund security for a future reshoot out there on the mean streets of West Oakland, where Zion I says that he finds it ironic because one of the reasons he wanted to shoot the video there was to try to help the community. And the community returned the favor by stealing his camera. And then he made things even more ridiculous by setting up a GoFundMe page. Please, Zion I, you're a famous hip-hop artist. You can't cover the deductible on a camera, for crying out loud, without begging for charity? I think Zion is probably part of the entire generation of children raised by the government schools and taught to beg for charity at the drop of a hat. Every time something happens, you're supposed to beg for charity and go fundraise instead of just get to work and make some money to pay for it, for crying out loud. All right. So that's domestic tranquility in East Oakland, West Oakland. I'm sorry, West Oakland, where we will have a link to the GoFundMe page on our website. Coming back. Yes, yes, it's the Weekly Worldview, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for sticking with us through the whole broadcast. And it's our condolences go out to Zion I and all of that. So one more from the personhood file. An update on a story we've been covering for a few weeks. Charlie Gard died on Friday in hospice after being murdered by the British courts, the European Court of Human Rights, and the hospital. His parents gave up on their legal fight early last week. He was taken off life support. The world will not be held guiltless for the killing of this one innocent child, whether actively, as in the case of the British courts, the European Court of Human Rights, and the doctors at the hospital, or via apathy, the apathy that has allowed a culture of child killing to just be the norm. The world will not be held guiltless for this. And from there, I just don't. I kind of want to go to this story from New Zealand, actually. You know, the more I get to know more and more people, the more I like animals. And that's a sad commentary, but it's simply true. The Telegraph reported this last week that three wild rabbits managed to escape rising floodwaters in New Zealand, and it was witnessed by one 64-year-old Ferg Horn, a farmer. He's been a farmer since he left school at the age of 15. He's been farming, and he says he's never seen anything like this. He was trudging through the rain and the downpour, and the floodwaters were rising, and he went to rescue a neighbor's sheep from the floodwaters. This was last Saturday. and he spotted the three wild rabbits hitching a ride on the sheep. There was two rabbits on one sheep, he says. There was one rabbit on another. And they were as happy as can be, those rabbits, says Ferg. They were warm and dry, all snuggled up together. And he herded the sheep to higher ground, and he says the rabbits hung on for a while. But eventually they hopped off, and all the sheep and all the rabbits survived. And none of them filed. None of them set up a GoFundMe page. None of them registered their discontent with their gender. They just survived. That's all. So that's from our Respite from the Madness file. That's, I have to insert that because otherwise I'll probably say something I regret and maybe something that might be offensive to some of you. And I wouldn't want that to happen. Let's see. Do I want to do weddings and polygamy? I don't want to. I'm tired of that. How about this? And this is pretty bad, but it's like the best news I have left in the stack. Columbia Township, Ohio. Police say two men broke into a house there in Columbia Township. And 24-year-old Gary Gross grabbed a hammer and confronted the intruders. When he realized that he might be overtaken by them, he ran outside and grabbed a gun from his car and shot both men as they were invading his home. His girlfriend and his son were in the house at the time, and so he shot them. The suspects were located a short time later and taken to the hospital, confirming what police said. You remember earlier in the article, police say two men broke into a home. Well, it turns out two men were taken to the hospital after being shot. So I'm going to take the police at their word that these men actually did break into the house. And, well, they were shot. Now, I like Gary Gross because he told the news when they interviewed him, he said, I don't want to kill anybody, so hopefully they'll be okay and they'll learn a lesson. No word on the condition of the suspects because we don't care. And we're glad they were shot. Now, on the other hand, I don't know if you've noticed I'm off today. I'm not feeling good today. Today's been a difficult day here at the McBurney compound because this morning we had to dispatch three of the roosters, as I reported last week. We came to the decision that for the good of the flock, that there were certain roosters that simply had to be removed. And so this morning I had to shoot three of these roosters, and it was one of the most unpleasant things I've ever experienced in my life, to have to shoot these roosters. And as I was going through this gut-wrenching, and I'm going to admit it, I don't care if you don't think I'm a big, strong man. I'm not like Ted Nugent. I don't get a thrill from blowing the brains out of a wild animal who never did anything bad to me. I just don't get off on that. I was very sad, and it hurt me very much to have to do this to these roosters. And I realized as I was struggling in my mind with what I had to do, that this is a lesson. This is evidence. How do I want to put this? I don't even know how to put this. This isn't the way things should have to be. That we should have to slaughter animals and it's a big bloody mess and it's horrible. And there's blood everywhere and there's people crying and it's terrible. This isn't the way things were designed to be. I teach Sunday school with the kids at Denver Bible Church from time to time. And we were reading through Genesis because when I started the Bible study, I wasn't sure where to start because I'm not a theologian. I never went to a seminary. And so I figured I'll start by opening Genesis and I'll read that to the children and then we'll discuss it. So we did that for quite some time. And we got to the part of the fall of Adam and Eve. And for the first time, and I've read that story 500 times. That's probably an exaggeration. I've read it easily 100 times in my life. And for the first time when I was sitting there with the children and I read how God killed an animal and he clothed the Adam and Eve with the animal's skin. And I remember telling the children, Now, up until this point, Adam and Eve were really friendly with the animals. In fact, they had named all the animals, and I'm sure they really loved and enjoyed the animals. And of course, they didn't eat meat, so they never thought about killing and butchering and slaughtering the animals. The animals were their friends. And so what did God put Adam and Eve through in order to bring to their mind the gravity of the situation? He killed an animal right in front of them, which must have been shocking and horrifying. It must have been awful. And then he made them put the skin on their naked bodies, which must have been very traumatic. And so as I'm doing the dirty business of killing these roosters this morning, it was burned into my mind that this is not the way things should be. The world should be a better place. There shouldn't be bloodshed and death in order for us to survive. And so I guess that's all I want to say about that. I guess I'm not a big tough guy. I hated doing that. It was awful. And I hope I never have to do it again. If I get hungry, I'm sure I would. But it was just not pleasant, okay? And so it's affected my thinking all day today. I've been down. I've been relatively unhappy because we had to do that. And now, as I look through the rest of these stories, I really just don't. I think that's probably just about it. There's none of this other stuff I want to do. There's none of these news stories that I've gathered together here that have had such an impact on my thinking as the fact that I had to kill these roosters this morning and that I'm depressed about it. And so, well, that's where I'm at. And I don't really have other stories here that I could do in order to end the show in a big moment and, I don't know, go off with a bang. But I'd just rather tell you that we live in a fallen, broken world. And that while there are moments of contentment and joy, overall, the world is full of misery and death and bloodshed and murder and pain and suffering. And it's not the way it should be. And if you want to argue that point with me, you're mentally deranged. And I will not entertain you with an argument about that, because I experienced it today, and of course I've known it because God told us that from the very beginning, that it's fallen, that it's broken. And I hope that you, like I, in the person of Jesus Christ, can look forward to a time when there need not be any more bloodshed. There need not be any more death or pain or hurting. There need not be any more lies. There need not be any more cheating and more stealing. There need not be any more of that. And Jesus Christ has assured us that he will return and he will set things right. And of course that he will destroy the wicked, but I can assure you that he will take no pleasure in that, because he has said he takes no pleasure in the destruction of the wicked. It's just a necessary bit of dirty work that he will have to carry out in light of the fallen and broken state of the universe. But God's destruction of the wicked is not the way it must be. At least not for you personally. God's going to destroy the wicked and he's going to set the universe right. But for you personally, it doesn't have to be that way. There is a better way. And I would suggest you start with Genesis and go from there. And I guess that's it. I guess I don't really have anything else. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com and at AmericanRightToLife.com. And of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview Studios. And of course, I will want to thank my extremely attractive audio engineer for her assistance and her tolerance on a difficult day here at the McBurney compound. Should the Lord tarry, we will return. next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.